This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. My guest today is Dr. Morgana, who has a PhD in how our identity and reality are co-created with all the people, places, things, ideas, social constructs, embodied emotions, and more that we interact with. Dr. Morgana, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Such an interesting topic. I can't wait to dive in. But before we begin, I always love starting out with, what was the inspiration behind your company, what you're doing today?
The company really, I think it was always one of the cards. It was always my fate. I was a very young entrepreneur. I made my first independent money when I was 3, actually. I got a place in a movie. I came into my mom's business when I was 7. I started my own first business adventure when I was 8, and I ran that till I was 14. So entrepreneurship was something that I came back to time and time again throughout my life with a sojourn through academia. And academia is everything that entrepreneurship is not. It's very rigid. It's very controlled. There's so little money, and there's so many incredible people fighting over like the smallest scraps. And there's just so much scarcity mindset. And entrepreneurship offers the possibility to reach millions instead of dozens, and to be part of world conversations in a less kind of way. There's not gatekeeping in that same kind of way, and it just felt like it was where I was supposed to be.
That's so inspiring. I love that you mentioned that, you know, with education it's just so strict and you have to, but entrepreneurship you can just be so creative. And you know, people forget that everything that we enjoy today, from high-rise buildings to the tech gadgets and everything that we have at our possession, is created by entrepreneurs. All the innovation, all the advanced things that save us time and money. So thank you for sharing that. My next question is, so tell us a little bit about your company, Morgan. Tell us the website, number one, like where can, you know, the listeners learn more about it? And then tell us, you know, what it is that you offer.
So it's MorganaMcCabeAllen.com, www.MorganaMcCabeAllen.com. And I support entrepreneurs, predominantly women entrepreneurs, to really create expanded, incredible realities. And part of that is to, you know, call in a lot more money. But part of it is also to actually be able to feel that in your body, to feel safe in your body, to feel joy in your body, to feel like you deserve your place at the table. Because so often, you know, as women, we live in a world that's being constructed for men by men, right? So even in places that have like a seemingly high level of equality, like in academia, in my undergraduate course, it's mostly women, but by the time you get to master's, it's like 50-50, and then PhD is more men, and then staff is nearly all men, right? And so there's a lot of unraveling that we have to do as women, especially if we've come from a corporate environment, to really relearn our power and to work in a way that's aligned with our bodies and beings instead of working inside of that construct. So, you know, we are monthly beings, not daily beings. So you're having an identical work day every day doesn't make sense in a body that that goes through a monthly cycle. So looking at some of these kind of things and working directly with your way of being in the world. And I especially work with people who experience other vectors of marginalization. So people in the BIPOC community and the LGBTQ plus community, people that experience neurodiversity. These are all things that are adjacent to my life. I have invisible Black heritage. I'm in the LGBTQ plus community, and I'm also neurodiverse. So I understand those experiences to some extent. Of course, it's different for everyone, but I feel very passionately that women and all women of every possible shape and size and color and age and cis and trans, that there's so much space for us to take back in the world.
And I think when it comes to
entrepreneurship, we need the diversity more than any other industry, in my opinion, because it's the creativity, it's the background of people coming from different places and believing in different things and being different is what helps a leader, an entrepreneur who is trying to build a startup, let's say, to really tap into those genius minds that have different perspectives on things, don't you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something that you see, again, I compare academia to entrepreneurship a lot because I've seen the inside of both so intensely. There are marking criteria, right, in academia, and those criteria really privilege specific ways of thinking, specific ways of studying, specific ways of engaging with materials, specific perspectives and backgrounds. So it's really easy for somebody from a particular privileged background, for example, to do really well, where it could be really hard for somebody that has a different way of thinking and being in the world. So for example, somebody who is neurodiverse and doesn't find it easy and accessible to engage with the materials, and they don't think about their answers in the same way. So entrepreneurship is an incredible space where, you know, you could have done badly at university or never gone to university, or you could have done incredibly at university and never felt stretched, or, you know, there's so many different experiences there. Whereas in entrepreneurship, you get to create whatever you desire. Like you're nobody is marking you, like nobody is there saying, well, you know, actually you fail. Like you get to just pick yourself back up and keep going and keep going.
And you know what I love about entrepreneurship is that you can constantly pivot and improve yourself. It's not, you know, for people who get so bored with the same thing, entrepreneurship gives you the ability to it gives you the ability to be in different projects and be creative. But it also is the job in itself is you can't have the same thing every day. It's just impossible because as an entrepreneur, you're wearing 10 different hats most of the times. And so it never gets boring, in my opinion. But it also has its own challenges. And let's talk a little bit about the challenges and how you help people overcome some of these challenges. Now, success, right? Like we talked a little bit about diversity and especially women, you know, in education, for example, if they're getting their MBAs and then PhD, you see less and less women. Like I've been wanting to get my PhD for years now. And my husband keeps asking me why. I'm like, I just want it. I've always wanted to get my PhD. And he's like, well, but you got to have the why behind it. And he's right. Everything we do, we should have the why behind it. And I don't think I have a clear why yet. And that's why I'm not pursuing to get my PhD, but eventually I know I will. But I think obviously there's a lot of challenges, and I'll speak to myself from my own experience as a mother of three, and I own two different companies, a service-based company and a product-based company, which are two different monsters kind of to deal with. And I find it challenging for me to the thought of, yes, I want to go get my PhD, but it's almost like impossible because unlike most men who probably just have a job or a company that they're managing. And yes, you know, nowadays fathers are more involved in their children and upbringing and all of that. But still, at the end of the day, a lot falls on women. And it really does prevent us from trying to do the things that we need to do. And right now I have a 7-month-old baby. So the thought of me going to school to get my PhD is impossible. And so my question to you, and I'm coming to you as, you know, someone that potentially could be working with you to get some help, right? In the sense, like, how do we structure things in our mind? How do we identify, you know, what the priorities could be, and how do we just fit them all together? Like, what's your suggestion on that?
So that's a really great question. And it comes back to exactly what your husband said about the why. Mm-hmm. When the whys align, they fit together very naturally. And when there's a dissonance between why we're doing things, that's when it tends to be really complicated to juggle. And so that I continually recommend to people not to do their PhD, because the reason why they want to do it is something that's external. you know, it's something like they think they'll, like, they don't necessarily articulate it this way, but there's a part of them that feels like they'll have a special status, or that it's going to sort of magically make them feel like they're enough, or, you know, there's all kinds of reasons, but none of those things are real, right? It doesn't actually do any of that. You finish your PhD and you're the exact same person that you were the day before. And there's also a part that I really would love to speak to, because I live the fantasy alternate life. So I started my business when I was pregnant with my third child. And by the time she was 7 months old, my husband retired from his 9-to-5, and he's the one that's home with the kids. And we have, you know, housekeeper and cleaner and all of these things. And still a ridiculous amount falls to me, because even although he's home full time, as women, we are cultured to understand how to manage the full mental load. And we are expected to know certain things about our children, and we're expected to take certain responsibilities and things. And so even when he took over, and he does a great job of the parts that he does, there's still so many pieces that, as a man, he doesn't have like generations of sort of acculturation into that role. And that's not to, I really want to highlight that I don't think it's something that's intrinsically biological or anything like that, but they're literally like the structure for a man to be supported in that role is not there. So, you know, there's not like, there aren't loads of groups with other dads, for example, right? And so even if you get like the fantasy dream of they've got exactly what I need to make it all fit together, it still doesn't actually fit together. And you still end up having to choose and prioritize and decide, okay, I put my time and my energy here where it's the most aligned, and this other thing is not for now. And I think that's the big lie that we're sold, is that, you know, we can have it all. And it's like, you can have all the things, but not necessarily all at the same time, not all at the same volume, not in exactly the way that you imagined, but it can be better than you ever imagined. And it can be exactly what you need when you start to let go of having it all and focus on having what you really, really, truly desire and what's really meant for you.
I love that. I love that. And being in the moment, because I think, to your point, we can't have it all the time. But at the moment, if this is all I want, if right now I just want to have that time, the quietness, so that I could do this interview with you without anyone interrupting me, then it's amazing, right? But if I'm being pushed and pulled into different directions, it just kind of ruins the moment for everything. Let's talk a little bit about the things that you had to figure out. And it sounds like you figured out a lot, especially with three kids. You really have to, because, you know, I love entrepreneurship because it gives us the ability to be better moms, in my opinion, because we're our own bosses and we can drop things when needed. When our kids really need us, we can stop everything and just attend to them. And also work whenever we find time. I mean, my laptop goes everywhere. I'll take my daughters to basketball practice and I'll work in the car or at the gym while I'm kind of watching their game, but I'm really working on the computer. And so tell me a little bit about, you know, a thing or two that you figured out that really took your business to the next level.
It's a great question, actually. I think one of the things was realizing that you have to find yourself enough and you have to choose yourself. So one of the things that I got caught in, you know, in the past especially, was this whole, well, you know, why me? Or, you know, I'm not good enough for that. I'm not big enough for that, especially in academia, which really promotes that attitude. So I was like, there's somebody else more qualified. Like, I can't apply for that conference, or, you know, I can't do that thing. I came into entrepreneurship carrying that with me of the whole, I might not be enough here, right? in the very beginning, I brought that in with me. And then I remembered I'd learned this lesson before in academia, and it still applied. And once I recognized that, I was like, oh, we're going to forget this a lot of times, this lesson, and we're going to have to come back to it every time, right? And it was, choose yourself, because you can't choose anybody else. So let's say, for example, you want to see a change in your industry. Don't wait and see if somebody else changes it. Just change it. Who are you, the new person that just walked into the industry? You are the only person you can choose. No, but you can't choose anybody else. You can't just walk up somebody's door, chat their door and say, hey, I noticed that this thing is toxic, and I choose you to fix it. Like, you can't do that, right? So the only choice you've got, the only power you have, the only person you can choose is you. And then just keep remembering, like, every time you think, I don't know if I'm good enough, I don't know if I have enough to say, I don't know if this is right or not, it's like, well, you know what, I'm the only person I can choose. I don't hear anybody else saying it. I'm the one that I can control. So I say it, and then we go from there.
Wow, that's great advice. I love that. I'm going to start using that. I'm really going to start using that approach. Tell me, if people are struggling with this, how, you know, what are some things that I guess, like, you could help them with, right? Like, if just give us an idea, you know, is it people, entrepreneurs that are a bit, you know, unclear about what the why is, or is it entrepreneurs that just don't have that confidence, or sometimes they don't even know. Like, I know I lacked confidence in certain things that I didn't even know. I wasn't aware that I was lacking confidence in those areas. I thought I'm confident in all areas of my business, but then I realized when it comes to certain things, I'm not. And I had to study and read more and understand that particular subject more so that I could build my confidence. What are some ways that you can help people, the listeners especially?
So I work with people from their day one right up to sometimes like 7 and 8 figure entrepreneurs, right? But there's something in common across all, like, at every level, even the people with the 7 or 8 figure business, like women in particular, they still don't actually feel like they're enough, right? They still feel like, you know, one more milestone. And actually, sometimes people with 7 and 8 figure businesses are not properly paying themselves, or maybe even not always paying themselves at all, because they cut their own money first. If any time that their business is, you know, in danger of flatlining, that money goes straight to the team and all the rest of it, and they're the one that doesn't pay themselves. And as a consequence, whether it's day one or all the way at that other end of that journey, is that we have times where we feel profound scarcity. We have times where we feel profound fear. There are times where we know we need to make a change or pivot, but we are frightened to do it. And there are times where we don't find ourselves enough. And underneath all of that is, we need to love ourselves enough, we need to trust ourselves enough, and we need to know ourselves enough. And actually, all these other things, like attracting ideal clients, knowing what your why is, creating new offers, like all these other pieces, when you love yourself, know yourself, and trust yourself, actually the answer to all those other things is there. I mean, you might want a little lick of paint, or, you know, like a little polish or something like that, but fundamentally the body of it comes from inside of you, right? But you can't find it, you can't tap into it if you're thinking that one more contract will solve it, or one more group program will solve it, or adjusting my first client. So whether you're up here or you're down here in terms of that ladder of your journey, the power to look inside of yourself and to know, I have the capacity to overcome every hurdle, and to look inside yourself and say, I know who I am, and I know what I can do, and I know what I'm good at, and I'll be my best advocate. And then choosing to love yourself so that you never shame yourself, you never abandon yourself, you never betray yourself. That's the work that I really do with people. It looks like business coaching on the outside. Like, if you go on my website, it looks like, you know, it looks like a business thing. But actually, the real power of the work is in that, those deep explorations into yourself.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think it wasn't until my dad, sadly, you know, my dad passed away, and that's what woke me up to really start being bold and just some of the things that you mentioned, really focus on your why. Just don't think that you need more education, more this, more experience, and that. Just get out there and do what you want to do already. Whatever it is, I'm sure you know a little bit more than the person before you, because you love this topic. You love whatever it is that you're doing. And so I love that. Now, I know we're coming to an end. What's the one advice? Like, is there anything that you could tell our listeners to do, I guess, to just be a little bit happier, or just be a little bit more successful, I guess? I don't know. What's one takeaway that you could share?
One very quick, easy tip, which is actually also in my book, is called Yes, Please and No, Thank You. And that basically is what I want you to do is to really, really, really honor it. Like it's a religion, like your life depends on it. It's something that's a yes, please. Even if it's scary, even if it's not the perfect time, even if you don't know if you're qualified or whatever, if it's a yes, please in your heart, say yes, please. And everything else, if it's a maybe, I think about it, I don't know, well, we could compromise and do half, any of that stuff is a no thank you. And if it's an out and out no, like, you know how kids with their peas are like, no, like, I don't like peas. Like, just do it. Don't do things just because you think you should do them. Like, if you hate LinkedIn, don't do it. Like, you know, whatever, that's my personal one, right? but whatever it is, like, your business has to feed your soul. If you're going to show up every day, even when it's hard, if you're going to be the person that sometimes finds it so scary that you don't want to get out of your bed yet or whatever, it's got to be something that you love enough that you're like, no, I love this, I'm keeping on going. And so, and that's really for business and for life, is that, you know, follow that yes please. Now, I want to highlight, a chocolate cake for breakfast can feel like a yes please in the moment, but that's not a real yes please. That's not a soul aligned, like, you know, yes please. That's something that's going to come with a sugar crash, and then you'd be like, oh my goodness, I put on 3 pounds this week and stuff. So it's really about being intentional with the yes please that is genuine alignment, and then say yes to that, and then be prepared to say no thank you to the rest.
Great advice, great advice. And where can our listeners get a hold of you?
The best place to find me is in my Facebook group, which is called Unbecoming Purposeful Entrepreneurs. So the URL is facebook.com/groups/AlignedAF Purposeful Entrepreneurs, because we changed the name when the book came out. the book, if anybody wants to check that out, is called Unbecoming, Your Unorthodox Guide to Radical Wholeness.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Morgana. It's been a pleasure. I admire everything you're doing, and I hope the listeners can take advantage, read the book, connect with you, get on the Facebook group, and which we'll have in the show notes, and learn from you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.